The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to the Seahawkers Podcast with your host, Adam Emmert.
It's unbelievable. I can't wait to never see Big Guns Hockey League ever again in my life.
And Brandon Schultz.
How is that unsportsmanlike even? To me, that seems overly sportsmanlike. That's extra sportsmanlike.
Go Hawks!
On a quest to own the West, yippee-ki-yay, we make the ground shake. All game day, 12 men, yay, feeling it is vital.
Welcome to the Seahawkers Podcast. I'm Brandon Schultz, member of the military Seahawkers. And joining me, we have a foursome.
We do.
Starting with my good buddy, Adam Emmer.
Yeah, we do have a foursome today. Two of them are dressed as if we are golfing. And we're kind of a Ryder Cup edition today because it's not just us with the U.S. Seahawkers. We have a couple of fine gentlemen from the U.K. Seahawkers Podcast, Adam and Stu.
That's right. Gentlemen, introduce yourselves, please.
We are good. I wouldn't say fine gentlemen. I'd say more reprobate level, but we'll go with fine gentlemen.
Can we just say moderate level?
Yeah, like, moderate okay. Fine. Right. So I'm Adam, a.k.a. Bizarro Adam, according to your lovely listeners. And this is Stewpot Stu Court.
Yes, Stuart Court. I am the host, the one who keeps it all together on the UK side of the UK side.
Allegedly.
Yeah. Troy Bahard is too, anyway.
So the Seahawks get the win, and I want to start off, Adam, I want to start off by talking about the first half, because 28-17 after the first half, and Adam, you were thinking this was going to be a barn burner, 9-6, what happened?
Well, it wasn't a barn burner, 9-6, and that was really off-putting. Really what happened is I showed up to the game, and so the Seahawks were going to do the exact catfish opposite of what I needed them to do to fulfill my prediction, but you know what I'm not sad about? The fact that we won. And so I'm glad that we were all here. We got to meet up at the game.
The lucky hat is undefeated, Adam.
Undefeated. Multiple games with the lucky hat here at Century League. So for all you out there, you're catfish. Welcome.
You're going to make me get the catfish button out. And I have, like, I'm going to have to edit this now.
Just two catfishes.
That's going to be it. Guys, Jimmy Graham today, two touchdowns. And both of them one-handed.
One hand.
Amazing.
So I've always had the catchphrase, Jimmy Graham is good at football. I mean, I sort of feel that it's a simple phrase, but it works.
It does.
And the guy is an absolute machine. And, you know, we were discussing after the game that when you're in the fourth quarter, 2 minutes to go, and it's third and whatever, Jimmy Graham should be the only thought in your mind. And if it's not him, it should be Doug Baldwin. The guy is a machine, and he's our best player as far as I'm concerned on the offense. And what I like to see is that maybe we start to use him in prime time, and that can progress as the season goes, because he's the man.
Well, I think the important thing is they actually look for Jimmy Graham in the red zone. Two touchdowns today, and I don't even know how many yards, too.
I mean, it was eight catches, 103, two.
So Jimmy Graham over 100 yards
again.
Yeah,
but eight receptions. Wilson, he had 20 completions on the day.
Can I just object? Because that's not eight receptions. He got two of those with one hand. Those count for double. Okay. That's got to be at least 10 receptions for okay. Whatever. Yeah.
But everyone's been saying that they need to throw to him more. And the 14 of the 20 completions Russell had were to Jimmy and to Doug Baldwin, which just, it worked. The offense worked for the most part, but got stagnated.
Yes, for the most part.
For the most part.
I think in half.
Well, comparatively to the last few weeks, it worked.
It's such a hard game to analyze because you score 31 points. You think, okay, the offense done you a good job. You concede 25 points, which isn't great, but it's still like, okay, we should be able to deal with that at home. And yet you leave the stadium thinking every part of that game should have been so much better. I don't know about you guys, but I just feel unfulfilled.
Well, let's talk about the one disappointing part of the game. Kristen Michael has a 3-yard touchdown run, but yet finishes the game with one rushing yard. One rushing yard for your supposed feature back. Is Kristen Michael done? I mean, is this the last week we see him as a feature back on this team?
I think the last week we saw him as feature back was last week, because Prosize did a lot more with what he had. The snap count, obviously, we don't really know just yet, but it seemed the process was a lot more. So I think the feature back with Christian Michael, that ship has sailed. And I think next week will be even more process with how Belichick's probably going to attack. He's going to mean it. Belichick has a thing where he focuses on the best player and nullifies the best player. So I think the feature back with Christian Michael, yeah, it's CJ process until Rules gets back in 2-3 weeks.
Does Christian Michael finish the season as a member of the Seahawks?
I think he probably does by default, because it's an unnecessary hassle to get rid of the guy just in case there's an injury. But I think I probably jinxed him in the same way as non-Bizarro Adams hat has been getting the job done. About 4 weeks ago, I was like, yeah, I think Christian Michael's a top 10 back in the NFL. And I've
catfished
the whole thing up. Let's be brutally honest about it. Because since then, he's looked basically like just a guy. I mean, he has skills that, if harnessed well, would be good, but he runs like he's wearing some gold moccasins or slippers, because he's not wearing cleats, because he can't get his feet in the ground and cut. Yeah, he's just one of those guys that just should be so much better, but for whatever reason doesn't have it.
Adam, I think what UK Adam is forgetting here is that the Seahawks now have Troymaine Pope on the roster, and which one of the running backs is Troymaine Pope going to be activated to? It's going to be C-Mike.
Well, that could be true. But here's the thing. You guys are all dogging C-Mike today when he had a sick spin moon in the end zone. Like, there was nobody around, and he still spun move for no reason. He hit the circle button. That was beautiful.
That was just a Golden Tate tribute after what he did in the end zone.
Right. But yeah, no, C-Mike looked atrocious today. He barely got the ball. Prosize is clearly the more productive back in Pete Carroll's eyes at this point. Can Thomas Rawls just please come back? Please.
As you said, with Jimmy Graham having one hand, if Rawls can play on one leg, that would be fine.
Yeah, it's got to be better.
I mean, let's be honest. We're getting absolutely hosed next week regardless.
We're getting hosed
next week.
The game has just ended, Adam.
I'm a forward thinker.
Let this, can we?
And
can
I've been,
let
I've been so forward
in?
Thinking that in mid-July, I was like, we're getting hosed by New England. And so I think, don't even run your offense next week. Get Rawls healthy. Michael can be your lead back next week. And then, you know, don't give him any clues for the Super Bowl when we invariably get revenge for Glendale.
We are going to New England. We're getting revenge, and we're going to win this game, guys. It disappoints me that you make this trip all the way over here. And
I'm just handing you my beer because I think you need to drink more. But here's the problem, Brandon. There's no way we're going into Genghis Tom's house and not getting just getting destroyed. We gave up 25 points or 400 odd some yards to Tyrod freaking Taylor, T-Mobile.
180 to Robert Woods.
Yeah, just wait till Genghis Tom comes and conquers the entire defense. We're screwed.
Let's go back to this game because there was you guys are upsetting me here. I want to talk about a couple things. I want to talk about defense, and I also want to talk about what happened at the end of the first half. Let's talk about defense first. Tweet here from Zach Whitman. The Seahawks defense has now been on the field for 122, almost 123 minutes in the last 16 days. Two full games. That's asking a lot of your defense.
Well, and it's also a short week coming up against Tom Brady and the Patriots. And look, there's a reason why I sound like crap tonight, because our defense was on the field for 40 freaking minutes and I had to scream my lungs out the entire time to be a real 12.
It's also a Patriots team who plan like no other team, coming off a bye week as well. It's a recipe for disaster.
We need to get Dave Bloomquist on the line. This is a conspiracy against the Seahawks here. Yes. The Patriots getting 2 weeks off while the Seahawks have a short week, and we have to travel to the East Coast.
Hurry up, Dave. Like, maybe watch some 9/11 truther videos and then get on and like tell us all about how this is a conspiracy, because he's captain, the schedule controversy. Yeah, it's a problem. Look, the defense hasn't been able to get off the field. I don't know what the freaking bills were in third down conversions today, but I'm guessing it was like 175% because they couldn't stop them on third down. And it didn't even matter if it was third and two or third and freaking 21 at the end of the game where we still can't stop them. This is bad news bears, man. We need Michael Bennett back in a hurry.
Let's talk about the defensive line. Adam, was the defensive line the problem, the secondary the problem? Like we said, Robert Woods gets almost 200 yards receiving, but they just can't seem to get any pressure on Taylor or or when they're in the backfield, actually make a tackle.
So I've said about the Seahawks this a lot this year, that if you imagine the defense should work as a net, and like the gap between the front line, the middle line, and the back line shouldn't ever be too much. Today, it just felt like that net was extended to strange distances, and there just seems to be acres of space at all times. I also, as I always say, I'm not knowledgeable enough to say what is a good called game and what is a bad called game, but I can't think of one time we really brought the house against Tyrod Taylor today.
We did when we closed the game out in the final minute. That's the only time, really.
And amazing that that's when we won and we didn't mess it up when we actually
with the defense, I mean, Rex Ryan and Rob is probably known as defensive minds, but I think they called pretty much an ideal offensive game plan, because they, if you put the 11 Seahawks defensive players on a sheet, the two you target is the two they targeted. Now, I know you two guys are from Montana, but Brock Coyle is one of those, and Jeremy Lane is the other one. But they just, they either ran or passed in their general vicinity. And that's why Robert Woods had 3,000 yards today.
Yeah, you make a good point. They did target some of the weakest links. But the other thing I found really interesting about how the Bills ran their offense is they really did stretch the Seahawks horizontally, like with Shady and Tyrod Taylor in their entire game, and a lot of short passes horizontally. And you never see the Seahawks get beat that way. They have so much team speed. And yet somehow, you know, Shady and company were able to really beat us that way. And that's something that I guess when I look ahead to the Patriots game, the Patriots can do a lot of things, no doubt about it, but that's not their game. I mean, the Bills are definitely built more on speed and more on the perimeter game. I don't see the Patriots having that same type of success. I haven't seen another team have that sort of success like the Bills did today.
You guys keep jumping ahead to the Patriots game. I want to keep bringing it back to the actual game that we just watched.
I just talked about both games. Aren't you happy?
No. Leave the Patriots out of this. I don't want to talk about it yet.
All right.
But this game, this, for the defense to be on the field when it mattered most at the end of the game, and to close it out and get a sack on Tyrod Taylor, and fourth down, you know, they get the win. A lot of people pointing out Deadspin tweeted out, you know, why was the receiver not open at toward the end of the game there? Because Richard Sherman knocked him down. That was a heck of a play by Richard Sherman. Like, that's a heady play. When the quarterback is out of the pocket, you knock the receiver down, because at that point, he's a blocker. He's not a receiver. And I just like the fact that there's actually people pointing out the rules to Deadspin for that tweet of theirs.
Well, not just people. Richard Sherman is on the doing that. His way to point out. But the thing about final drive is they need 60, 65 yards. We give them 20 yards on penalties with the 15 yard and a 5 yard.
Well, and the third and 21, you add on another 15 yards for a hit on the quarterback. Robbie Wagner going up high. That's not what you want to do on a final drive.
I mean, has there ever been anything more Seahawky than that little toe tap catch on the side, plus 15 yards, and you're thinking, this is not going to end well for us?
You know, the only thing more Seahawky than that is they get down towards the end in the goal line there, and Pete Carroll starts calling freaking timeouts. Let's make it easier for the Bills to score, please, because this game hasn't been a struggle enough.
I mean, if anything, that says a lot about what he thought was going to happen, because he wanted to preserve a minute to get a field goal down the other end.
Right.
He was like, okay, well, we're not going to stop these guys. We haven't stopped them all night. They're going to score a touchdown.
That's called smart coaching.
No, it's not, because as a result, we had to defend an entire extra play at the end of the game. There would have been no fourth down, because the clock would have run out. Hell, well, there might not even been a third down. Like, really, that was... What's your best unit on this team? What's your best unit on this team?
Punt team? I don't know at this stage.
The best unit is the defense. I mean, I know they had their struggles today, but man, you ride with the guys that got you there, man. I don't know why you make it harder at them at the end of the game. I was screaming. I was freaking out.
You made the joke about the punting team, but that's what got us, you know, in the hole in the first place, with the block punt to start the game, give the Bills a short field. They get up early, but the Seahawks came back. They got 28 points on the board in the first half, and a lot of that, like we said, due to Jimmy Graham being freaking amazing.
I mean, we're at 28-17 once the Sherman pick happens, I guess, like 6 minutes into the second half. They've wasted 6 minutes of time on a long drive, which didn't really take them anywhere, but just dink and dunk nonsense. And I'm thinking, you know, this game's over. We're going to score a touchdown right now, 35-17. And, you know, it's a happy night for everyone. If you told me at that stage, this is how the game's going to end, I would have thought, yeah, you're crazy. You're taking full advantage of the Seattle marijuana laws these days, because there's no way that's how the game's ending.
Well, Richard Sherman, a big part of this game, a big story for several reasons in this game. And one of those was because of the end of the first half, right? Because the Bills lining up for a field goal. And Richard Sherman jumps offside, gets in the backfield, knocks the kicker down. And I didn't see it close enough to see how badly he made contact with the kicker. But the kicker goes down. The team staff comes out on the field, which makes the kicker have to leave the field. And the refs didn't do a great job of explaining it because they made it sound like the kicker wasn't going to be eligible to come back in. That's but cool. The Bills make a good play, getting in there, spiking the football, and lining up for the kick again. But then they don't get their field goal team on the field fast enough. And so that kick, there's a delay that moves him back, and then the kick ends up being no good, and the Seahawks go in at halftime 28-17. It's just an incredible set of plays, but I'm sure we're going to go back and watch it, and Richard Sherman may have deserved a flag for that.
Well, he said that he went after the ball, which Dan Carpenter's a kicker for the Bills. I mean, that's something me and Adam see every weekend in the Premiership, in Premier League in football. He feigned that. He was rolling around like he was a South American soccer player. And then the next play, he was ready to swing. And obviously, wet all the nonsense happened with the flag and everything. But he went for the ball. Apparently, he played to the whistle. But as you say, we need to go watch it back. But that was just... It's another example of just a complete cluster.
Catfish!
That is officiating the NFL this year. It's a complete...
So Stu, I have a quick question. So did I just learn that South American soccer players are the biggest fakers in the world over all the others?
There's other types of fakers, but
yes.
South America was the first.
They're the first. Okay.
They're the pioneers of the situation.
Yeah, the pioneers of the situation. Diego Maradona was at the forefront of that movement, so...
Gotcha. Okay, well, here's the thing. You guys talked about Brock Coyle being a Montana boy. Let me come to the defense of another Montana boy and Dan Carpenter, who is a Grizzly. He is a Montana. Tanner Grizzly. Look, he did get hit. I know he played it up for the officials. Of course he did. I have no doubt about that. Was it a dirty play by Sherman? Kind of. I mean, he totally was blatantly offsides by like a Texas mile and then just smashed him. Like, you can't do that.
Look, the most important thing is, as with all plays with the Seahawks, I'm sure the national media will react to it in a very calm and sensible manner.
Even, as always, happens
whenever there's something slightly contentious with Seahawks. You know, Monday Night Football, we have a tradition for this. After the Chancellor thing last year, you know, people were very calm and circumspect.
I don't know what it was about Monday night
in this town, but the whole thing seems to go down the pan because, yeah, it's nuts.
Well, there's a rule change coming on Wednesday. I think it's already been announced. They're changing the rule on Wednesday.
Yeah, a bizarre end of the first half. I've never seen anything like that in my life ever. I can't recall anything even close to it. And I mean, there's a reason why the refs couldn't explain it well, because they had no freaking clue what was happening. Like, it's never happened before. That was insane.
Well, I just know I thought it was hilarious that you know that he was down there faking injury. It seemed like. And then he had to come off the field due to his faking. And it just seems so right. I don't know. It was funny to me watching that entire series.
I mean, that ended with Rex Ryan jawing at Sherman. I mean, you don't see that in NFL that much. I mean Belichick's not going to do that. Josh McDaniels ain't going to do that next week. It's a Ryan brothers deal. They just jaw at one of their best players. In the league, it's just a completely bizarre situation.
Well, I want to talk about a couple guys on defense, and then we can talk some Russell Wilson before we finish this up. Guys, Bobby Wagner, 16 tackles, a half a sack. Also, Kelsey McCray, a big day, 13 tackles. That was probably due to him being, well, he's kind of over the middle helping out, but you don't see him having that.
Helping out should come in inverted commas with Robert Woods getting 180 yards. When you say helping out, it should...
Yeah. The Kelsey McCray might have been a big part of why he had so many tackles. But let's talk Bobby Wagner. Holy smokes. Talk about a guy who's been just tearing up the league this year.
As we've said on our podcast, he's the best middle linebacker in the league right now. Right as we speak, he's the best middle linebacker in the league. Because as we said, I think it was last week's podcast, you can game plan away from Kuechly, as the Saints did a few weeks ago. Most... vividly for me, but you can't game plan against Bobby Wagner because Seahawks defense is pretty much the same look every down, and he's just absolutely balling.
Well, I just know that if Bobby Wagner wasn't in there, and not having Michael Bennett, not having Cam Chancellor, if we lose Bobby Wagner, this defense is going to be like a normal defense.
Yeah, I mean, we can be you know, mucking on these guys the whole time. Let's look at it from a more exterior point of view. We're 8 games in. We're 5-2-1. There's a lot of hurt players on this team that are coming back healthy. We're the second seed now in the NFC, which gives us a bye week maybe in the future. And at this point, I don't think that this collection of players could play that much worse than they are playing, given the quality they have. So you have to think that if they get better by even 10-15%, this is a team that could really go far in the NFC, which is very exciting.
Yes, it is the second half of the season.
Well, see, that's how you know this is the bizarro, Adam, because I was very optimistic. And the thing was, and here's the thing, I found myself nodding. I was like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Like, I enjoyed that, because you do make a great point, other Adam, that that this really is a team that, as far as this talent level goes, this is about as poorly as they can play. And except for maybe Bobby Wagner, which you brought up, Brandon, I mean, this is a career year for him. I mean, you guys make a great point on your guys' pod about him being the best middle linebacker in the game. He has surpassed Kuechly this year. Mm-hmm. Or maybe Kuechly took a step back. I don't know which it is, but he really is. I mean, he's a force, and you can't game plan against him. Man, we get a couple bodies back. We got Russell Wilson looking like Russell Wilson again this game. That's pretty awesome.
But yeah, I mean, to have Russell back, I mean, I think he said his knee brace on, I think, and Tyler Lockett, I mean, he took one return, as I say, and he looked back, if he can look back. And if that happens, it's going to turn around. There's going to be a game and a day and a week, a run where everything is going to sync up as it has for the last few years. It's coming, and as you say, with the talent on that team, it could be quite a lot of fun, as it looked like it might have been at halftime with 28 points.
I do like the optimism of UK Adam, especially when it comes to Russell Wilson and being healthy, because, yes, we did see a healthy Russell Wilson. He's 20 of 26, so only missed on 6 passes, and that's throwing it away. And a lot of those were really smart throwaways. And then 282 yards, 2 touchdowns, a rating of 137. This was back to the Russell Wilson that we saw play against the New York Jets a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, I've been the most probably of people talking about, you know, when people are like, oh, you know, you got to sit Russell, get him healthy. Like, no.
Catfish!
That. Let's get our $20 million quarterback on the field. And people still, you know, on our Facebook group are saying, oh, we got to sit Russell, you know, give him a month to get healthy. Well, if you do that, you're out of the playoffs. So that's a completely pointless venture. But ultimately, the guy right now looks like, you know, more than serviceable. He, you know, if you compare how he looked in the Rams game and even the Falcons game, which wasn't great, and the Arizona game, it's a different quarterback right now. He looks ready to play. He can scramble a little bit. You know, he's got a rushing touchdown. I mean, I had too many fireball before the game, but as far as I'm aware, I'm pretty sure he ran one in to start the game off. So, you know, which wouldn't have happened 2 or 3 weeks ago. So from that point, if we can add even, you know, half again his running to the offense, we should be in good shape.
Yeah, I was one of the guys that was driving the freaking bandwagon of Russ. But that was just for the Jets game, because I figured we rest him for that, then we got the bye week, and then bring him back. So I was like, it was just one game. I mean, and who cares about the Jets? T-Boy could actually maybe win it against the Jets. And so I was like, let's just, he is our $20 million quarterback. You're 100% right. I want him to, like, you know, not have a career-ending injury because he can't run around behind that sieve of an offensive line. So I was hoping that 1 week of rest would make a difference, but somehow he powered through. And this week, he really does look like a different quarterback. The knee brace is smaller. The ankles are untaped. We saw him run around and make some plays. I mean, like you mentioned, Adam, the idea that he scored a touchdown early, he really did look more like himself, and that's the most encouraging thing to me.
Yeah, it is. But also on the Russell Wilson, that might be the thing for you, where it's 1 week on our group in UK, there's a lot of people were still calling for that last week. And it's just like,
wow.
You can't at this point. We're in a pretty good situation in comparison to how we looked and how we've played. You just keep rolling, because it's gonna turn around. As I said, it's gonna turn. It looks like that corner is, the precipice is close.
Yes, we are past that now. We don't have to worry about anybody saying to sit Russell Wilson, because he looks like Russell Wilson again, back there doing Russell Wilson things. But I fully expect Russell Wilson to be healthy moving forward, just as long as we can continue to have that offensive line block for him.
So I want to ask both you guys, Stu and Adam. So looking at this game, defense gives up 400 odd some yards, lose time of possession by double, like 40 minutes to 20. We throw the ball for, like, you know, 200 odd some yards and rush the ball for 33 freaking yards. Does this feel like a sustainable way to play football going forward? Is that one of the things, like, because after coming out of this game for me, I'm still scared.
So if this game happened every week, no, this isn't a sustainable way. But there's a Jackson Bevins on Twitter is very smart in the sense that he says the 43-8 Super Bowl win was the best thing to happen to the Seahawks, but the worst thing to happen to the Seahawks fans. Because what it's made us think is that every game in 2013, we rolled through every team. And that's just not the case. At one point, it may have been exactly 3 years ago today, we were 21-0 down at home to Tampa Bay. You know, we were 2 touchdowns down against Houston. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, you just find a way to win, and there's enough, you know, cojones in this team. There's enough balls, there's enough talent that, yeah, it may not be exactly right now, but there's enough in this team that, as far as I'm concerned, we have to trust these guys, because if we don't trust these guys, we're being a little bit selfish. I think there's enough here that would suggest that we can get back on track. Tonight's not ideal, but I'd rather be not ideal in 5-2-1 than 4-3-1.
I agree with you on the record, but Stu, I guess why I brought that up a little bit was the idea that we heard Pete Carroll talk all week about there's going to be a big change. That big changes were coming and that we were going to get back to our style of football. And we've gotten away from our style of football for weeks. And sure, if this had just been one game, I would be just like you, Adam. But what I see is a team that has a complete and utter ability to run the ball in any way, shape or form. And I'm not sure that Thomas Rawls ever coming back is going to be the difference maker. And I guess that's what has me concerned. I don't know. Is it the same for you or do you see it differently?
No, but as I said, 5 minutes ago, it's the corner, the precipice of the corner is quite close, I think, for offense. And all we need is the defense to get, as you say, get the bodies back, Cam and Bennett. I mean, I think it's 2-3 weeks for both, 2-3 weeks for both. But if that happens, and if it's still happening with those on the field and the offense healthier than it was. But what you said about Pete Carroll with how he said it's all going to look like this is going to be the week. The two people he mentioned were Russell and Jimmy. And that's what we had for the first half of the game. The second half was complete abandonment of morals and everything. But but the first half was what he said with Jimmy and Russ. So if that continues next week in the other side of the country, then.
I mean, I don't know about you guys, but if you can remember how you felt after we lost in Kansas a couple of years ago, before the team completely turned around, I feel more optimistic now than I did then. And that team completely turned around. Obviously, you had the Lynch factor, which is huge. Everyone was healthy and it was a case of, you know, sort your
catfish
out. Whereas right now, maybe it's a talent and there's a, you know, more tangible issues in the team. But as far as I can remember, when I was, you know, back at that time, I thought this team is done. And I don't quite feel that about this team just yet.
Well, I think it's important to get a win this week because as all you
catfish
are saying about next week, but the fact that you're already looking ahead, 5-2-1 is a lot better than if we were had taken a loss this week and we were going to take on the Patriots. Just take it all in. Keep this feeling we have right now and just maybe, I know you guys are just going to maybe, I don't know. What is your attitude going into a game knowing that or thinking that you're going to lose? I don't understand this.
Anything's a bonus.
Well, I think, as Adam pointed out with how they attacked us, New England ain't going to do that because they've got the Garrett Blunt, they've got, is Deion Lewis back? Is he back yet?
I don't think he's quite back.
But they have a completely different style of attacking you. Obviously, Tom Brady's the GOAT when it comes to quarterbacks and stuff, but it's a case of if we can get through that game in one form or another, then so be it. But.
Well, Brandon, I think you were trying to sum up in your little ending statement there is that it's better to win than it is to lose.
Evolutionary tactics.
Which it continues to be a true point.
But you talk about our record with 5-2-1. We've also 5-2-1 in a division where you got the 49ers, an absolute abomination. They can't stop anyone. Any running back in the world could get yards on them.
The Rams lost to Carolina.
Yeah, but the Rams, as someone put on Twitter, Jeff Fisher isn't even Jeff Fishering properly anymore. So it's like, it's a case of that. And then you've got the Cardinals, who Carson Palmer's arm is going to give way one day soon. So they're in a good situation to get the playoffs. And then all bets are off because it's.
Yeah, I think Arizona lost against the bye week this week.
Right. when we won against ours, when we had ours.
Exactly. Well, gentlemen, I really want to thank you for joining us and making the trip over here and for a great Monday night game. People can't complain now about how primetime games are so terrible because we had an outstanding primetime game. It was a game up until the end, and we came away with a win, which is like the most important thing because it is better to win than lose.
It is, and I think with that,
there's only one thing left to say.
Go Hawks!
Go Hawks!
Go Hawks!
Go Hawks!